Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Today, we will explore light. Scientists don't fully understand what light means or what light can do. Modern physics has broken up nature into its smallest, most exotic parts. But light will not be reduced. No one knows exactly how to describe it. Light can be pure, but it's not simple. Light can take many forms. From a soft light or glow, the kind of candlelight that so many people depict as romantic. Or it can be harnessed into a devastating laser. Light can be gentle. It can, with very little help, heal a small child from jaundice just by putting a lamp over its bed. Or it can be hostile as weapons of war because we can use it to blind and to burn our enemies. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." The Bible tells us that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. He is the essence of light. He is the presence of an all-consuming fire. God revealed Himself to men. He understood how delicate we were. He understood that our eyes could not contain His brightness, that we would go blind in His presence, and so He veiled Himself in human flesh and dwelt among us. There was a time when Adam and Eve were fine. They were comfortable in the light. They walked in the presence of God in the garden. They were accustomed to the light, but then they sinned. And what did they do? They ran for cover. They thought they could hide themselves in the darkness, in the shadows of the trees. That's what God found out when He asked Adam, "Where are you?" And Adam replied, "I heard you, but I hid from you." Dallas Willard, who I really love and think of him as the American C.S. Lewis, he told a story about a little girl who making mud pies. She called them chocolate. But her grandmother came upon her and saw the mess she had made, and she cleaned up the mess and everything, and she told the little girl not to make chocolate pies again. But the little girl, being 3 years old, decided she would make them again. And so she began to make more mud pies, more chocolate pies. But this time, she looked at his grandmother and said, "Nana, don't look at me." And she continued to make mud pies, and she would look up once in a while and say, "Nana, don't look at me." She said that three times. Dallas Willard says that that is our simple prayer. When we do something we know is wrong, we say, "God, don't look at me. Don't look at me. I'm hiding in the shadows." Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that you are the light, that we can see in your reflected glory our many faults. Father, we thank you and praise you. May everything that has breath give praise to you today. May we come out of the darkness, out of hiding, and see you as you are. Father, reveal yourself to us, knowing our infirmities. Let us see what we can see, hear what we can hear. Cast out my words. My words are nothing. They're simply too weak and too small to bring homage to you. So, Father, we ask that you would be glorified today, that you would speak to us in our hiding places, that it would be your voice that came to take us out of wherever we're hiding. Father, show us the way by being the light for us today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us read together Ephesians 5, verse 8. And Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to God." Once we were in darkness, you and I were hiding from God. He knows us and loves us. And that is why God, who is light, revealed himself to us. He clothed himself in flesh and blood and was born as a baby, as a child. John said, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." Matthew said, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of darkness, a light has dawned." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The intense light of God's presence came among us in Jesus Christ. And as he came with healing. Healing the blind. Healing the blinded hearts of men, so that they could come out of the shadows into the light of his presence. That is why we ask for forgiveness. We ask so that we can move from the darkness that is in us to the light that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we prefer darkness because our deeds are evil. It is because we're doing wrong, and we're saying to God, "Don't see me, God. Look away from me." I think that's the reason so many philosophers believe that God doesn't really monitor us, because we're just too many. God monitors every hair on your head. He monitors as the brush goes through and the hairs go down the sink. He knows. He knows. God loves you. God came out and revealed himself to us. The veil came away. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 8, that the problem is not our nature. You know, we're surrounded in a culture that is dark, that can't see itself. That's the reason we light fires and burn buildings down and riot and rage, because we're saying, "God, don't see me now. I'm doing something that's bad, but don't see me now. Don't look at me. I can't take that light. My deeds are evil." But God wants us to know that it is not just the darkness around us. It is the darkness within us. God looks into the heart. You may be hiding in the dark someplace. You may be with a costume that hides you. But God knows who you are, even when you wear a mask. He knows. The problem is not in our surroundings. It is in our nature. It is a part of our old DNA. The old man seeks a home in darkness so he can hide from God. You were darkness. Sin and darkens our minds. It diminishes our capacity to feel compassion for one another. It's hard to say to someone, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto me," or you, or to anyone that you love, if you don't understand that the sin within your own heart, the prejudice, the anger, the things that are there that you feel are being eroded, being taken away. Sin disables our wills so that we cannot get free from sin. We cannot get out of the darkness that we're in. We cannot get out of the shadows. We simply can't move because sin has us trapped down. But because of Jesus, we are new creatures with new DNA, spiritual DNA that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, including escaping from the power of sin. You can do that. That is worth cheering, because we know that God is saying to us, your sin is washed away by the blood of the one I sent to save you. Paul says to believers, you are light in the world. Sometimes we think in the world that something is too good to be true, and so it obviously isn't true. You say, as a Christian, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the world says, well, wait a minute. You look like the same old person to me. I don't see any difference. You mean to tell me that you are a new creature with new thoughts and a new mind, the mind of Christ, and a new will, the will of God, because you simply said, God, come into my life? Because you turned away from your sins? That's too good to be true. But in this case, it is true. God gives us His mercy and His grace. He brings us out of darkness, out of hiding. He is not only wanting to take you out of the culture of darkness, He wants to take the darkness out of you. That's why He brings His light into you. You invite the Holy Spirit of God into your life, you have the light of the world shining through you. And there is no darkness in that light. Darkness cannot impede upon light. You know, my wife is not here today, so I can talk about her. I talk about her when she is here. But she's not old enough, but her mother is old enough to remember the Blitz over London. And they had blackouts, and you would make sure that your curtains were drawn in such a way that you wouldn't let the light out, because bombers could see that little light, and they would drop their bombs upon it. You see, a little light travels a long, long way. You can see a candle lit in the darkness for up to 2 miles. You can understand that we're to be a light placed upon a hill. We're supposed to attract people from all around to the light that is within us. We have to change the environment we're in. Jesus is the change agent. He's the one that can actually transform a human being. He can take our darkness out of us and put in light instead. He has the power to do that. He is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. We need to be connected by faith to Jesus. And then we have all the light we need. It says in the Scriptures, put your trust in the light. We need to put our faith in Jesus, who is the light of the world. We need to ask Him to do the things that we can't do in the darkness. We stumble. My wife broke her toe. There wasn't an awe in the whole group. Now there's an awe. She broke her toe. She was running through the house with flip-flops and stubbed her toe on something she didn't see. That's what happens when we run through a darkened place. We can't see. But God gives us the vision to see. He gives us the light within us to know that we're coming upon something that will hurt us. Light is life. Paul gives us some examples of what it means. In chapter 4, verse 25, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. How does the world know that there is light in you? Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. In a world where spin is all we hear, where we hear ludicrous lies and all kinds of tall tales and everything else, the world will know that we have the light of God within us when we are truth speakers, when we tell people the things they need to hear, when we bring them the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 26 it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When you watch a TV program, there is at the end of the program, especially at the end of that series, a tagline or an exit line. It keeps you kind of stirred up until the program comes back on the air. Maybe 13 weeks, maybe 26 weeks, maybe a year, but you're waiting. You're waiting to find out who shot JR. And that's the way television programs utilize something that is within us, which always seeks out the negatives. Well, I think so-and-so shot JR. I think you're wrong. I think he was shot by... Everybody worries about nothing, about shadows. You need to come out of the light, into the light, out of the darkness, so that you understand that God is calling, not darkness calling into your life. That is the way we do it. We are made new creatures, and therefore we should act like new creatures. We should be truth speakers. So we're not just looking for an installment of another negative thing. I'm sure those of you who watch soap operas, The Guiding Light, or As the World Turns, good grief. As I think about it, I could write episode after episode for the rest of my life just based on your lives. I don't have to be inventive. Every time I talk with one of you, there is an exit line. There is a line that allows me to keep on keeping on engaged and trying to find out what is actually happening. That cliffhanger, those words that are uttered. That, of course, is trying to figure out what we can do. We can do nothing. only God can do. Only God is the light. It is up to us to make sure that when we're in the church or wherever we are, school or in our families, that we ask ourselves a question, that we try to determine whether or not we're angry when visitors come to see us. Are we all frowns? Are we welcoming people that love God and love one another? Are we people that exude love, not just in the things we give out, but in the things that we are? Then you will be a part of the light of the illumination that God has placed in you, and the world will know. In verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. That's the light in you working. You know, sometimes we go to the workplace or someplace else and we just take things. We have a statement around here, around the church, that if you leave a dish, it'll just walk off. You leave something around, and is it sacred to you, or is it something you feel like you deserve? See, the world looks at the workplace as a place that should give them more than their salary. It should be a place where they can get extra paper, they can get extra this, they can get extra clothing, they can get extra stuff, and they take it home. The Bible tells us not to be a part of that. That if we want to be part of the light, we need to be good employees, good people at the church, good in our homes, good in our families, good at school. We need to be people who are people of integrity, who say, no, I can't take that. That doesn't belong to me. I can't do it because of the light that is within me. That light that burns up all the darkness of my mind. That light that illuminates for me. That we need to allow your workplace and your family, the things that you purchase, be things that you worked with your hands. There is no work that is beneath God. Every work has its worth. Every work, whether it is picking up food that we're going to give away on Tuesday, or whether it's mopping the floor or cleaning the place, as people do all the time. I saw evidence of it this morning. The Latinos are fasting. They're fasting. But they made breakfast for those of us who aren't. That is an act of love. That is doing something right. That shows me the spark, the light in their hearts for others. But there is a certain kind of person who always wants to know what's in it for me. That's the reason preachers talk about heaven so much. Jesus didn't talk about heaven that much. He talked about hell many more times than he talked about heaven. But we try to be cloud pleasers, to be crowd pleasers, to say the things that everybody will agree with. That's not true of God. God's people say things as they are. And verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, when I think about the church, I think about a place that should build itself up. We're not in the business of children of light. That we are light, of tearing people's faith down, of tearing people's hopes down, of tearing down people because we don't like them. We're not that kind of people. If we're people of the light, we're people that love one another. And we build up one another because we love each other. And we encourage one another. And we have faith in one another. And we have faith in our God. Because we know that prayers make a difference. We know that the love that people have for us makes a difference. Then we will be revealing the light that is within us, because the source of all love is God, who is love. And when we give out that to other people, we build them up, then we are part of the light. You know, I don't know about you, but I used to step in the spotlights all the time, and I've talked to Ray about the things that are lighting and various things, because we're on Roku, and that's seen by people and speak English all around the world. And we're on Roku, and so the lights, you know, have to be bright enough, and we have to try to tinker with the lights and make them better, and we have to tinker with the camera and make it light, more light sensitive or less light sensitive. Sometimes I look completely washed out. I probably am washed out. But anyway, we want to be in the best light. But God wants us to be in His light. Not the light of man. Not the light that He has gifted us with. But the light that He has gifted us for. You do not expect the world to shine for you. God intended you to shine for the world. The wonderful thing is that every Christian believer will once again be at home in the light. You know, C.S. Lewis, in a work that he called the Screwtape Letters, which is a long work, but at the end of the piece, Screwtape, who is the devil, is talking to one of his smaller tempters. And the tempter has lost his battle. The Christian believer has gone to heaven. He is in heaven. And a little demon's trying to follow him every step of the way. And he gets to the light and he goes, "Ah, I can't take it." And Screwtape says that, yes, it is your failure that the Christian got into heaven. But that light that the demon experienced, that suffocating, terrifying light, was only a cool light to the Christian who was going back to where he belonged. What is a blinding and suffocating fire to you is now a cool light to him. That's what Screwtape says. The radiance of God's presence will either be a suffocating, flaming fire to every human being who's ever lived, or a cooling light. You know, they say that when we die, we see a light and we go into the light. Then we see the light. I remember as a young boy, well, I don't remember, my parents have told me, that the first thing I ever said was, "See the light?" It was a complete sentence. I said, "See the light." I was from Electra, Texas. So naturally, I said, "See the light." The fact is the light is the last thing we see, according to people who've gone to the other side and come back again. And yet, that light is not a suffocating flame. It is a light that is cool and comfortable, because once again we will be in God's presence, like Adam and Eve, who were comfortable in God's presence, in the light of His glory. But those who are hiding from God in the darkness will find that same light suffocating fire. What is the presence of God to you today? You know, I have been with various parties, and I have been with people that hold all kinds of theological views. And sometimes I feel fear in some of the people who do not understand the theology of someone else. I feel fear. I feel them retreating into the darkness. They're hiding from the presence that they might feel. They're afraid to do anything that manifests the spirits in them. They're afraid. God does not give you the spirit of fear, but of the right mind. God wants you to be light. You're not to hide yourself under a bushel. You're to set yourself upon a hill. You're to draw everyone to you. You are to be the ambassador of Christ. You are light in the Lord. Lord looks at each one of us and wants to know how we shine. And so today we have an opportunity to shine for Him. You can either feel His presence as a suffocating fire and be afraid, or you can walk into God's presence knowing His love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and receive them. For freely you have been given. Freely receive. It's not too good to be true. It is true.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.